It's been a busy week in Yankee universe, from Aaron Boone's tirade to the Hall of Fame weekend to the updated trade rumors. We'll discuss all these topics and more on this episode of the Pinstripe Talk podcast, which begins right now.
Do you love Yankee baseball? If so, this is the show for you. Welcome to Pinstripe Talk with your host, Nick Delahanty.
Welcome to another edition of the Pinstripe Talk podcast. I'm your host, Nick Delahanty. We're happy you could join us for yet another episode of our podcast. We thank you all for tuning in. As always, find us on Twitter at Pinstripe Talk ND. You can find my personal account at Nick_Delahanty. Also, hit us up on Facebook by searching the Pinstripe Talk podcast. Again, our podcast is available on every streaming podcast site from Apple Podcasts. Subscribe, rate, and review the show on there. Google Play Music, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, and iHeartRadio, just to name a few. Again, if you have trouble finding our show, let us know. We'll be glad to share links with you. Whether you like Apple products or not, we'll find the right streaming device that fits your needs. Interact with us on social media. We love to talk Yankees baseball. We love when you join in on our conversation. If you missed our show last week, you missed a big announcement in regards to our show and the growth of our show. So we just want to remind you that now we are proudly a part of Overtime Media. So we'll be teaming up with them. We're very excited about this partnership. Nothing changes for you. You could still find our shows on every streaming site possible. The only thing you will notice is there will be advertisements throughout the show. That helps create revenue. We hope that you continue to listen in and also take advantage of some of the advertisement deals that are offered. A lot of good deals that are going to be offered to you, and we hope that you make the most of those deals that come forth. Man, it has been a busy week since we last talked. The Yankees wrapped up their 10-game homestand, finished off that 7-3. We're going to break down that homestand, the second half of that, a little bit. We're going to talk about the Rays series in particular. As many of you already definitely know, Aaron Boone had a little bit of a tirade. We're going to talk a little bit about his tirade. And another instance where we almost had a little situation in a game earlier regarding CC Sabathia. We're going to break down both of those and discuss how that has impacted this Yankee team. We're also going to talk about Hall of Fame weekend. The Yankees were well represented in Cooperstown this weekend. You had Mike Mussina and the great Mariano Rivera entering rightfully into Cooperstown to join the baseball legends. We'll talk about both of those players, and we'll also break down the latest trade rumors as the trade deadline quickly approaches us. The Yankees seem to be players on the starting pitching market. Jim Bowden, who was on MLB Network Radio and is part of The Athletic, reported that the Yankees are guaranteed to get one of the top-tier starting pitchers. We'll take a look at his quote later on in the show, so make sure you stay tuned for that. Before we get into today's action, we're going to take a quick commercial break. We're going to bring you one of our advertisements from Overtime Media, and when we come back, we'll jump right into the thick of things here on the Pinstripe Talk podcast. And we are back to the Pinstripe Talk podcast. I'm your host, Nick Delahanty. Let's jump right into the Tampa Bay Rays series at the stadium. Man, was it a crazy series for the Yankees. Game one, not the way you wanted it to go. That was July 15th. The Yankees lose that game 5-4. It ended up being the Travis d'Arnaud show. 3 home runs, 5 RBIs. The former Met terrorized the Yankees. And it left a lot of people frustrated because it seemed like every at-bat, d'Arnaud was getting pitched outside, using that right field porch to his advantage. The Yankees were down to their final strike to win the game. But d'Arnaud had different plans for that ballgame, a tough one to swallow. And then the Yankees come out the next night with CC Sabathia on the mound. And by now, we all know how CC Sabathia is as a competitor. If he doesn't like something, he is going to tell you. If a Yankee gets hit at the plate, that guy's going to be the first one on the top stairs of the dugout or even coming out of the dugout to let that opposing pitcher know. If he's on the mound and he doesn't like something that the other batter does or another runner, he will tell you. And Avisail Garcia must have looked at him the wrong way or got on Sabathia's nerves, and he let him have it. Benches cleared, bullpens cleared, no fight ensued, but you could just tell that tensions were high. And that's what the Yankees needed to kind of get back in that game. That eighth inning, they score 6 runs, capped off by a Judge home run and a Didi grand slam. It was just the support they needed. It was just that spark. You just felt like after Sabathia had that little issue, the Yankees were going to respond. It just shows how close-knit this team is and how they battle for one another. They end up winning that game. And honestly, I felt that Sabathia kind of sparking the troops played a big role in them winning that game. You go to the next night, the Rays had a chance to regroup, which is never good because you had the rain out. They were going for a doubleheader on the 18th. And when you go into a doubleheader, you want to win at least one of the two games. So you go and you think, you know, you get that one game and you could take a split in that doubleheader. However, game one didn't turn out the way the Yankees wanted to at first. Domingo Germán, who you can make the case has been their best arm this year, comes out and is flat in the first inning. Lets up 2 home runs, really struggled. And the Yankees are having trouble with a rookie umpire behind the plate by the name of Brennan Miller, who his strike zone was very hard to decipher on both sides. And you were just waiting for a situation to kind of come up that somebody was going to get ejected from this game. Well, it didn't take long. Brett Gardner gets called out on strikes. He's not happy about it. You can see him in the dugout slamming his bat along the top of the dugout. Aaron Boone's having his say. LeMahieu's at the plate now. He gets called on a bad strike. He's telling the umpire how he feels. Boone continues to chirp. Miller ejects him from the game. Boone becomes internet famous as John Boy, one of the best Yankee followers out there, was able to capture the audio for which Boone was telling Miller at the plate. Miller was just standing there, and I think he handled it well, especially for a young umpire. He didn't argue back with him. He let Boone have his say, and then it was over. Boone went on to call his Yankee hitters savages in the box, and there was a lot of good audio that, if you go on Twitter and search up John Boy, you'll be able to see firsthand a lot of the things that Boone said. The mic pickup has been unbelievable. We've been able to get a lot of good audio from players and coaches on the field, and this one became internet gold. People are selling shirts all over the place with Boone's kind of rant, and it just became a spark, and it was the first time in a while that we really saw Boone get visibly upset. You remember last year he got ejected, he crouched behind home plate, kind of showing the umpire how to catch the ball or framing the ball, but it was just a different feel with this one. And Boone ended up getting suspended and for making contact with the umpire. And you understand why. He even admitted he didn't appreciate the way he acted. Looking back at it, he was a little embarrassed, which rightly so. You're in the middle of a game. You're trying to win the game. Your job is on the line every day as you're trying to win games. And you get upset. And I'm sure that Boone contacted Miller and apologized afterward. But that ejection just showed how much Boone really has his players back. And in a season, in a very long season, that I should say, you look for chemistry within a team. And you look at the chemistry from the 25 guys, or even more, depending on guys coming in and out. And when they want to play for their manager, you just get a different feel. And you could tell that this team appreciate what Boone does for them. Yes, we criticize him a lot. I'm a big critic of Aaron Boone. I've been since they hired him. I think that there's a lot of things that Boone has to improve on and has improved on as he has more experience as a manager. I still think the Yankees front office makes a lot of the decisions that go on a daily basis. I think that they are basically dictating what they want to see on a daily basis. And Boone has his say, but the final decision comes from upstairs. But that just showed how much Boone cares about his players, and afterward, how much the players care about Boone. Not one player was upset or frustrated with how Boone acted. Every player they asked in the post-game conferences said, you know what, he has our back. That means a lot to us. That speaks volumes to us. And I'm telling you, that's what makes a championship team. The guys in the dugout and the guys in the locker room have each other's back. From the manager at the very top to the final guy on the roster. That is huge. And I give Boone credit, and I'm not one to give him a lot of credit. So make sure you take advantage of it now while I'm giving it to him. The guy has done a good job. He has been getting a lot better at his job. He has been making strides to put the Yankees in a better position to win games. Yes, they are better with runners in scoring position. Yes, they have a little more talent than they did last year. Yes, a lot of guys are clicking at the right time. But this guy has managed through injury after injury after injury. His ace has not thrown a pitch this year. Giancarlo Stanton has not played in more than 20 games this year. If you were to tell me that Gio Urshela and Cameron Maybin and Mike Tauchman are guys that are getting every day at bats with this team, or were at some point, I would have called you crazy at the beginning of the year. And I also would have thought that the Yankees were in a lot of trouble. But give credit where credit's due, Boone has really made a chemistry with this team that you feel this team can win on a daily basis. And that's something that will translate in October if this could continue. After Boone's tirade, Yankees go on to win that first game. They win that one 6-2. Grimond settled down. He mentioned how much it fired him up. Like, he had a goal in mind to go out there and pitch for his manager that just got ejected. He didn't let up a run after that first inning. That's how good he was afterward. Yankees go on to win that game. And not only that, but they go into the nightcap and they win 5-1 against one of the best pitchers in the American League in Charlie Morton, who's 11-3 with a 2.61 ERA. Yankees go with a bullpen game and it works. Green goes the first inning. Cortez struggled, but still got them 3 1/3. Sessa was outstanding in that one. He went 3 1/3, and Ottavino closed it out. Then the Yankees finished their homestand, taking 2-3 from Colorado. 7-3 homestand. Colorado really digging themselves in a deep hole, by the way. They're really pushing themselves out of the playoff mix. I could see them trying to explore some trade possibilities, maybe for a Charlie Blackmon. We've heard that name a little bit, as now they're falling more and more out of it. But give credit where credit's due. Those two tirades from Sabathia and Boone really sparked this team. And in adversity, this team responds to it. And that is something that a lot of people want to see, especially heading toward the postseason. Yankees have a big lead in the division, best record in baseball, and a lot of the credit has to go to the guys in the clubhouse, because on a daily basis, they continue to do what's necessary to win games. And it seems like every night it's somebody different, and you got to give credit to the two guys. Yes, ejections are ejections, you know. You don't want to see your manager having a tart fit every other night for no reason. But Boone picked his spot. He had a chance to rally his troops, and he nailed it to perfection. If I was one of those players, and my manager was yelling at this umpire, telling him that I was a savage in the box, I would want to run through a wall for this guy. And I'm sure that's the feeling that the Yankees have and will continue to have as they roll on in the season. It's a long season. As we all know, there's a lot of baseball left to be played. But you have to love the direction the Yankees are going in, especially with the trade deadline coming up, where they could possibly add some reinforcements to definitely help them get over the hump and bring home another World Series title in 2019. While we return to the action, this is a great time to let you know that the Pinstripe Talk podcast is now offering fan gear on Teespring. You could find our gear by going on our social media pages, once again, at Pinstripe Talk ND, and on Facebook by searching up Pinstripe Talk Podcast, and you can get all the latest gear to help support our show. Part of the funds do go toward our show, so we appreciate all the support. Again, help us rep our show and help us get our brand name out there in the open. The more listeners, the better for our show. As we return to the Yankee baseball talk, I want to talk about the Hall of Fame induction ceremony this past weekend. And as always, it was another great weekend in Cooperstown. A lot of well-deserving candidates have been elected into the Baseball Hall of Fame. The Yankees had two guys who stood out predominantly as Yankees throughout their careers enter the Hall of Fame, and that would be Mike Mussina and Mariano Rivera. Let's start off with talking about Mussina, who pitched 18 years in the big leagues, was a All-Star a handful of times, five times to be exact, seven-time Gold Glove winner, spent the first 10 years of his career with the Orioles after he was drafted by them in the first round of the 1990 amateur draft. The Orioles actually loved Mussina so much, they drafted him in the 11th round of the 1987 MLB draft. So 3 years later, they kept their tabs on him. And this guy, he never won a World Series title. He never won a Cy Young Award. He didn't even win 300 games. He fell 30 short of that illustrious company. But this guy pitched in probably baseball's toughest division in one of the toughest times to pitch in this division. And he spent his entire career in the American League East. I'll never forget, I read about Mussina's path to New York, and he was always a small-town guy. He didn't want to pitch in a big situation in a big spot. He liked the small town. He liked Baltimore. And after the Yankees won the 2000 World Series, 3 days later, Joe Torre gave him a call and said that he wanted him to join his staff in New York, that he wanted him to come pitch in New York. And for Mussina, we all know how that ended. He signed up with the Yankees, finished his career in the Bronx. He had some really good years in New York. If you look at his first 3 years, he won 17 or more games. Then he kind of struggled a little bit in terms of wins and losses and capped off a now Hall of Fame career with 20 wins for the first time in his career in his final season, went 20-9. Mussina, when I was growing up, was one of my favorite pitchers to watch. I just loved the way that he worked the zone. I loved the way that he never overpowered hitters, but he was very smart with how he pitched. And he was very deceptive with the way he threw the ball. I'll never forget the night where he took a no-hit bid into the ninth inning against the Red Sox. I was heartbroken when Carl Everett hit that ground ball up the middle. I'll never forget it. It was one of those nights that you just can't forget, but Mussina was dominant that night. And yeah, say what you want. 270 wins is not that 300-win plateau that was kind of the trademark to get in, or the benchmark to be exact. Mussina accomplished so much while pitching in a very tough division. And let's not forget, that was the heart of the steroid era. So you're going against lineups like the Red Sox, the Yankees. You're looking at these lineups multiple times a year. It's not an easy thing to do. And Mussina always did it the right way. He never heard any scandals. He never had any controversy. He went out, he pitched, and he did his thing. And growing up watching him, I'm glad he's a Hall of Famer. I think he's well deserving of the honor. He finally gets in after his sixth year on the ballot. And I rightfully think that he belongs among the greats in Cooperstown because that's what he was. He wasn't that brand name, that big time star. Yes, he had a big name behind him, but he wasn't the Randy Johnsons or even the Curt Schilling or Pedro Martinez of the time. But he did his job, and he did his job well. And I'm glad the writers got this one right because he is well deserving of his plaque being in Cooperstown. Honestly, if you gave me an hour, I could talk about this next guy for probably more than that hour, and that's Mariano Rivera. Before I get into the numbers, we all know how great he was on the mound. But back in 2003, I had the opportunity to go on the field for batting practice at Yankee Stadium. I had the opportunity to meet Mariano, and it was 100 degrees on the field. It was one of those days that you didn't want to be on that field. I was watching batting practice. I got to see Ichiro up close and personal, hitting fly ball after fly ball into the third deck at Yankee Stadium. And I'll never forget, I turned my head and there came Mariano, this guy who I idolized, absolutely idolized as I was growing up. I loved watching him pitch. I loved hearing Enter Sandman at the stadium. And he came up to me and he was the most genuine and humble person you would ever meet. As I was trying to talk to him about his career, and I was actually trying to get him to teach me how to throw the cutter, which, as you could probably tell by me doing a podcast instead of playing baseball, I didn't get that opportunity. Mariano wanted to learn more about me. He was talking to me about my days playing and what position I played and where I'm from and talking just about anything else other than himself. And that to me stood out. And to this day, he is one of, if not the nicest human being that I've ever met. And that will stay with me for the rest of my life. I still have that picture of myself and him in the dugout that day. And I posted it on social media on our Twitter page. And you could just tell the excitement on my face. And that's something that still lasts with me today. When I grow older and I have family, I could tell them that I had the opportunity to sit down and talk with the great Mariano Rivera. And boy, as humble as he was off the field, he was dominant on it. You heard Enter Sandman, that meant the game was over. That other team didn't have a chance. That was it. That game was finished. 13-time All-Star, All-Star Game MVP, 5-time Relief Award winner. It was the ALCS MVP. And the thing that stands out to me, 5-time World Series champion. This guy had a career in the postseason that people wish they had in one season. He was that dominant over his career. 652 saves. This was just a skinny kid out of Panama who the Yankees transitioned into the bullpen. And one day playing catch with Ramiro Mendoza found a pitch that he would last and keep him in the big leagues and keep hitters struggling at the plate. It was amazing. And if you listen to the Hall of Fame speeches and the preview videos, Andy Pettit said it best. One guy had one pitch and dominated, absolutely dominated. Teams knew what were coming. They knew it. They couldn't hit it. Broken bat after broken bat. Ground ball out after ground ball out. Strikeout after strikeout. This guy was like a machine. He had his moments where he was flawed. Everybody does. But for the most part, he was absolutely brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. 42 career saves in the postseason. Can you imagine that? Pitched in 96 games in the postseason. 96, I didn't stutter there. Five-time World Series champion. I can't say that enough. Because I'm sure that if you had the chance to ask Mariano, he loves the fact that he was a winner. He was helping his team win on a daily basis. As humble as he was, come the ninth inning, he was the guy you did not want to see. Put pressure on teams to score runs early so that guy wouldn't take the mound. And it was amazing to see his teammates like Jeter, Tino Martinez, Jorge Posada, Bernie Williams, all in attendance to see this great guy get unanimous vote into Cooperstown, the first player in baseball history to get unanimously voted in. That in itself is an amazing feat, and that in itself shows just how amazing this person is, not only just on the field, but off the field. Still to this day, he is a huge, huge face in baseball. He does a lot for the game of baseball. He's trying to help it grow. And in his Hall of Fame speech, he joked about the sacrifices he had to make with his family, missing birthdays and family celebrations and things like that. He even joked and apologized to his one son for the fact that the Yankees were playing in October every year on his birthday, which to all the Yankee fans out there, including myself, we definitely didn't mind. You could have cake later on once the season's over. But you could tell that the sacrifices that he made were worth it. And his family was right there for him the whole time. So it was a beautiful moment to see Mariano get in. First ballot, unanimous. It's just an amazing feat. And it's an amazing thing to see. And we were all lucky. For those of us that were around to watch him, we might never see somebody as dominant as that in our lifetimes ever again. There might not ever be somebody that dominant. Because we are looking at greatness. And the greatest closer of all time is now a member of baseball's most prestigious honor. And it's truly well deserved. Looking ahead to 2020, obviously we're going to be represented again. We're the New York Yankees. But Derek Jeter goes into the Hall of Fame next year. There are talks he might get 100% of the vote. We'll see. I don't know about that. Of course, Jeter's a first ballot Hall of Famer. The guy I idolized growing up. I don't know if he gets 100% of the vote, though. I get that now that Mariano set the tone, it might become more of a common thing. But we'll have to wait and see. Table those thoughts. Because I think Jeter will get close to that 98-99%. But I do think that there are some writers out there that might snub him. And they'll find some BS way to snub him. We'll just have to wait it out and see. But it was a great weekend in Cooperstown. Two well-deserving guys get in. And looking ahead, the captain takes his rightful place at the Hall of Fame in 2020. So book your tickets now if you want to go. Because it's going to be a weekend that a lot of people will never forget. I have to be completely honest with you all. As the trade deadline approaches, I am getting sick of the trade rumors. I really am. You know, I love this time of year. I think that it's a great time of year. I think there's a lot of things that teams could do to help them make a push to get them deep into the postseason. However, this time of year, if you go on Twitter, you may have the people who think that they're insiders providing some really bad takes on things. You have people who think that they could be a GM of a team and really change the culture of a franchise. and then you have the real stuff. And there's a lot of rumors that are thrown around. Who's scouting who? Who is watching this player? Who's not interested? What teams have problems with GMs that they don't want to trade with? But today, a report from Jim Bowden came out, who is part of The Athletic, and he said that it's not just a safe bet, but a guarantee that one of the following players will end up in Pinstripes before August 1st. And he cited Trevor Bauer, Noah Syndergaard, Marcus Stroman, Mike Minor, Matthew Boyd, or Madison Bumgarner. He also added that the two starters who are most likely to be traded at this point appear to be Stroman and Mike Minor. And the Yankees have been interested in Boyd. We talked about the guys who are available during our last show. If you haven't listened to it, go check it out. We break down each guy individually. As that show will tell you, I'm not a big Boyd fan. I'm not a big Minor fan. The guy I would aim for is Marcus Stroman. And that is an interesting situation in itself. On MLB Network, John Morosi brought up a trade hypothetical which would send Marcus Stroman to the Bronx. He had the Blue Jays acquiring highly touted prospect Davey Garcia and right-handed pitcher Nick Nelson. So we took to Twitter and we asked our faithful Twitter followers, would you accept this deal? And to be quite honest with you, a lot of them said no. And I don't blame them for that. Garcia is a highly touted prospect. A lot of people love the fact that he's progressing so well. Very young, a very savvy pitcher. A guy that a lot of people see as having a bright career ahead of him. But there are the people that are considering a deal of certain situations in regards to Stroman. I'm going to give you some Twitter feedback that we received. Again, if you want to join in on our conversation, go to @PinstripeTalkND to join in on the conversation. David Santana, DSantana310, said that he would replace Garcia with Florial and then would do the trade in a heartbeat. I think a lot of people are getting a little low on Florial. I think that there's a lot of scouting reports out there that say he's more of a fourth outfielder, has trouble putting the ball in play. So there are some concerns regards to him. So I could see why, and especially with the Yankees outfield depth, he might be a guy that might be expendable, especially if the Yankees don't think that he could be that perennial all-star caliber player that a lot of people thought he could be. You have Hoodie Judge, who also has rest in peace Tyler Skaggs in his name, at the real Abu _27. He says no to the deal that Morosi cited and said he would rather keep Garcia and trade Clint Frazier. I don't know if they would take Frazier instead of Garcia. If they're looking for a young, controllable arm, they might not elect to do that. But again, they might like Frazier's bat. They might decide to keep him in the mix in terms of a trade. They might see him as a long-term solution in one of the corner outfield spots. Bobby Malone, who is at Bobby Malone 29, said pass on that one. Garcia's upside is too great. And that goes again with the people who like prospects, who view these prospects. I'm sure that he has a lot of knowledge on what these prospects are. Some people like to keep their prospects. And we know that Brian Cashman is very smart in terms of how he deals with trades and keeping his top prospects around. If you look at past trades, the Yankees really didn't give up a lot of quality arms. A lot of the guys that they consider quote-unquote quality are either injured or have struggled in their new home. The only one who really stands out is Giovanni Gallegos, who kind of found the home in St. Louis. But again, you got Luke Voit in that trade, so you really can't go against what the Yankees did there. You have some people who do agree to that trade, and one of them is Eric Feldman at @E_Feld. He says he trusts Cashman. He's a master when it comes to shipping off highly graded prospects when he knows they won't pan out. So if the Yankees have any inclination that Garcia might not be the guy that a lot of people are anticipating him to be, they might elect to sell while his stock is still high. I agree with that point. He's done a good job in keeping his top guys around while using those quote-unquote top pieces to get assets to help the big league club. Now, New York Sports at @NY_sports_fam says they would do that deal in a millisecond. So there you have somebody who would definitely take that deal right away. Then you have @J_NYY, another big Yankee fan, says Garcia's upside is what? Marcus Stroman? I'd consider this. but would also understand if the Yankees don't want to do it either. And that kind of wraps up what our take is on it. You know, the Yankees might elect to do that trade. They might say that getting Stroman now and having him in the mix to help this team win the World Series is more important than trying to see what Garcia could bring to the table in a little bit, in a little while in the future. You know, Garcia might end up being that Cy Young Award winning type of pitcher that people expect him to be. Or he could be the biggest bust that we've seen in a while. You never really know with prospects. And I'm sure Cashman has a great idea of what his system has and what he's willing to keep and part ways with. It's just a matter of time to see what ultimately ends up happening. The Yankees continue to be linked to a bunch of pitchers. Again, I am in the train of Stroman. I don't think Bumgarner gets traded. I think he stays put. I think Bauer stays put. I don't think either one of those guys gets dealt. I wouldn't be happy with Boyd. I wouldn't be happy with Minor. But I would be happy with Stroman. I think he fits the Bronx perfectly. I think the Yankees would hit a home run if they can get him. And especially if they could get him at a reasonable price. I get it. They got Happ last year. That deal really didn't work out for the Blue Jays. So I'm sure they'll be looking to make up for that deal. Especially with their biggest asset in Stroman. They could get a lot for him. But I think that the Yankees are in a position where they know they need another arm and are willing to pay the price to get it. They won't break the bank. Brian Cashman's a very smart guy, a very savvy trader. But it'll be interesting to see what he ultimately does. And now with Bowden saying they're guaranteed to get a starter, let's see if he's right. And let's see what Brian Cashman is able to do before the deadline passes us by. That's going to wrap it up for today's episode of the Pinstripe Talk podcast. As always, we thank you all for taking time out of your busy schedules to listen to our podcast. All of your support is greatly appreciated. You want to continue supporting our show? Find us on social media. Follow us at Pinstripe Talk ND on Twitter. At @Nick_Delahanty is my personal account. Find us on Facebook, Pinstripe Talk Podcast. You can find us on multiple streaming sites, Apple Podcast. Subscribe, rate, and review the show on there. Google Play Music, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, just to name a few. We are on all podcasting sites, so make sure you find us, share the link with your friends, let them join in on the conversation as well. If you really want to support our show, go over to our social media accounts and find our Teespring fan page and buy a shirt. Wear your shirt, show your friends, have them join in, even get them a shirt. It's a great gift, a lot of good products up there. Make sure you take advantage of those opportunities. Some of those profits do come back to the show to help us support our funding. We appreciate all your support moving forward. It's been a busy time for the Yankees. Definitely going to be a busy week and a half coming up. Trade deadline is approaching. August is among us. And the playoff hunt is getting hotter and hotter. Yankees continue to have the best record in baseball. They look to keep that up. As always, we hope that the Yankees continue this streak and take it into October. We want to talk about a World Series championship at the end of the season. It's been too long. We always say it, but our time is coming, and hopefully that time is this season. That's going to wrap it up for the Pinstripe Talk podcast. I'm your host, Nick Delahanty. We thank you again for listening in, and we'll catch you next time.